Well, good evening. It's great to see you. Welcome to our Wednesday night service here at Shepherd of the Hills. If you brought your Bible, would you open it to the book of James chapter 1? The book of James chapter 1. You've heard the old saying, no doubt, that goes, actions speak louder than words. Or maybe you've heard the other one that says, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Or maybe you heard the one that goes, put your money where your mouth is. The point is that these sayings tell us the importance of living what we preach, of walking the walk, of actually putting into practice the things we claim are vitally important in life. People want to see that. They want to see that genuineness. That if we say we're honest people, we're practicing honesty. That when we say we're loving people, we're practicing love. People want to see it in action before they'll believe the words. Well, in James 1, in the passage we're about to study this evening, it's all about living our faith. You know, the world looks at the Christian church and often asks the question, what's so different? What's so special about the Christian church? Well, we get an opportunity to show them by living our faith, by showing them what Jesus would be doing if he were walking the earth today. What does that look like? That's what James addresses in James 1 in our verses this evening. Notice how he begins in verse 22. He says, but be doers of the word. But be doers of the word. Now, we can understand what a doer of the word is. It's somebody who puts it into practice. But I want to draw your attention to the word be. Just a two-letter word. In our English vernacular, that word doesn't get a lot of attention. Just be, as in something you are when you're not something else. Be a doer. A natural state of being. I'm going to be this today. And something you can do passively. But you know, when James wrote this, the Greek word for be is much more involved, it's more dynamic, and actually it's a verb. And literally it translates to become. And so you could read this, where he would say, but become doers of the word. Now that's a different twist, isn't it? Become doers of the word. That's action, that's motion. That implies a transformation, doesn't it? That's not just sitting around and letting things happen. That's taking the initiative. That's growing. That's changing. Become something, but that by implication, we are not presently become doers of the word. You know, the Apostle Paul put it this way. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation, he says. The old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Well, James here says, become doers of the word. Become something new. Become a person that puts into practice all these things we're learning about. Now, I will tell you, when I read that the first time, I didn't think much of it because of the word be. But then when I dug into it and I realized that it's telling us to become something different, I breathed a sigh of relief. It was like the weight of the world was lifted off my shoulder. I can remember just going, oh. Because if it's telling me to become something, then it must, and James must, and God must understand, I ain't there yet. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not the best doer of the word. I wish I was more loving and more patient and more kind. I wish I was more gentle. I wish I had more self-control. You know all those fruits of the Spirit we read about in the Bible? I wish I had that more. I wish that when people looked into my life, Christ was clearer. I often feel like they're looking through this window that hasn't been cleaned in a long time. And maybe there's some kind of image in there, but we're not quite sure what it is. Now, I don't know about you, but that's how I feel when it talks about doing the word. And so I'm trying, I'm working on it, but I'm not there yet. And you know, the Apostle Paul wasn't even there yet. He tells us in Philippians chapter 3, not that I've already obtained this, he writes, or I am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, he says. He's working on it. He isn't there. He told us he does what he hates, and he hates what he does, and he doesn't do what he'd rather do, and he says it's the sin that dwells within him. Paul wasn't there. None of us is there, I think it's pretty safe to say. But that's okay, because it makes room for that. It says, become doers of the word. If you stop and think about it, the book of James is all about identifying real faith. And so I'm sure glad it doesn't say you are doers of the word, because I'd be far behind the curve. It says become doers of the word. Work on that. Build that. Grow. Transform into that. You know what that tells us? You can have genuine faith and not be perfect. You can be a genuine saved believer and not be perfect. You can be on your way to heaven and not there yet. Not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on. Become doers of the word. That's growth. That's action. That's a verb. It's a transformation. And notice what he says after that. Become doers of the word, or be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So on one hand, James gives us a picture of a person who's growing in their faith. They're becoming more than they are. Becoming a doer of the word, applying scripture to their life, taking the action to grow in their faith. As Peter tells us, to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. This is that person who's doing those things. But then on the other hand, he says, be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Or literally, not a person who just sits there. When James wrote this, that word hearer, if you were reading this in Greek and you lived in his time, the image that would come to your mind is a student sitting in a classroom listening to the lecture, listening to the professor, listening to the facts and the figures and understanding what it says, but then dropping it all when you walked out the door. If you've ever been a teacher in a high school classroom, I'm sure you might have had that same frustration that you pour out for some students and they just leave it at the door when they go. But that would be the image that James is painting. This is a person who just sits there, but they don't do anything with it. They're not participating. They're not getting involved. And notice what he says about that person. He says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. It's possible, and I say this with a heavy heart, it is possible to sit in church your whole life and hear everything and understand everything and even believe it's all true. It is possible to sit in front of 1,000 sermons, to believe that Jesus is Lord, to believe the Bible is correct. It's possible to receive the information, accept it as true, and still not put it into practice. And I would say our churches are filled worldwide with people coming in every week, going through the motions, putting on the clothes, learning the language, bringing the books, and then leaving it at the door. Hearers only, James would say. He says, don't do that. Don't be hearers only, he says, deceiving yourself. You see, without the application, it doesn't matter. Without taking what we learn and letting it affect our life, it doesn't matter. Without living our faith in a way that shows the world that we've been changed from the inside out, that we are being transformed, all the knowledge and all the understanding and all the intellect and all the comprehension and all the hours sitting in the pew, they don't matter. Until we put it into practice, until it changes our steps in life, it's just information. In other words, put it this way. Salvation is not a product of good works, but salvation is a producer of good works. It should change you. The Word should change you. The Holy Spirit doesn't come through our works, but it comes out through our works. We don't receive God by being good enough, but when we receive the Lord, we try and be good. You see how that works? It's not the work that saves us, but rather that is the product of a genuine transforming faith. That's what Jesus meant when he said in Matthew chapter 5, Let your light be seen. He said in Matthew 5, 16, I think it is, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. When people look at our lives, what do they see? Do they see an image of Christ? Do they see somebody going through the motions? When people look into our lives, do they see faithfulness and gentleness and self-control and love and kindness and all those other things? When people look at us, what do they see? There's a story of Gandhi, and I'm not exactly sure how historically accurate this is, but the way it goes is when Gandhi was a very young man, he went to stay with a Christian couple, and he was trying to figure out at the time what his religion would be, and he thought Christianity would be it. It looked attractive to him. He went to stay with this Christian couple, and after some time, he determined Christianity would never be for him. And the reason was, he said he looked at this couple, and he noticed they weren't any different than the people around them. They said they were believers, but they acted the same as their neighbor. They acted the same as everyone else in the world. And so he came to the conclusion that one of two things had happened. Either they were model believers, and this was the best Christianity had to offer, something exactly like everyone else, or they were living in defiance of their own religion, which meant it was inherently weak. If it didn't have the power to change who they were, he didn't want any part of it. If they were model believers and they looked the same as everyone else, he didn't want any part of that either, and so he determined he would become a Hindu. When people look at our lives, they will judge Christ by that. The Bible calls us ambassadors for Jesus. And so James tells us here, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. You know, Jesus told us at the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And that's an interesting verse. I've always loved it, because what is a peacemaker? Except somebody doing what Christ would be doing, building bridges, not fences, bringing people into the presence of the Lord, helping mend relationship, loving on people, ministering to people. And he said, when people do that, they will look at your life and they'll say, that looks just like Jesus. You must be related to God in some way. They will be called the sons of God. And so James says here, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. And then notice he goes on to say, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. You know, there's few things in life as honest as a mirror, huh? We look into it, and it doesn't care about our feelings, does it? It doesn't care what we wish we looked like. It doesn't care what we've been going through throughout the day. It just gives it to you. Whatever's there, that's what you're going to see. A mirror is brutally honest, you might say. It doesn't hide the imperfections. It doesn't hide the flaws. It just shows us what's there. The true reality of the person. Right now, Sierra's gotten into these Disney movies, and The Little Mermaid is her favorite. She is in love with Ariel, and just that kiss of true love at the end when they fall in love and get married. But there's a scene in that movie, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but the sea witch is this giant, ugly octopus thing, and she takes on the form of a beautiful woman to try to trick the prince into falling in love with her. And there's a scene where this sea witch, now looking like a beautiful woman, is standing in front of this mirror. And on one side is the beautiful lady, but in the mirror, the reflection is that witch, just showing her exactly what's there. The real person behind all the frills, behind all the trimmings, the real person. Well, that's exactly what James is talking about, where he says, if anyone is a hearer and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, or literally his original face, his unaltered self, his natural state with all the trimmings, without all the trimmings, I should say, without the career, without the degrees, without the money, without the respect in the community, without the pride. If you strip all of that away, what's left over That's what this person is seeing. And the only thing we have in life that has the ability to do that for us in an honest way is the Word of God. That's our mirror. Because when we look into this, it doesn't care about feelings, does it? How many times have you read through the Bible and gone, ouch, that hurts, that stings, it's cutting. In fact, it tells us that it's sharper than a two-edged sword, able to pierce through bone and marrow to the division of soul and spirit. That's a sharp word. That hurts. That's why Christians don't read their Bible more, I'm convinced, because they get cut. They read through it and it gives them their natural self without care of feelings or what you're going through or what you wish it looked like. And so James says, a person who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. Looking into the scripture and reading about the original condition of the human heart, without the political correctness, without walking on eggshells, reading about the hard reality of sin in life, that should change you. It should definitely change your outlook. It should be one of those things that once you read it, you go, wow, I can never go back to the way things were. That's exactly what happened to Adam and Eve, if you remember, in the garden. They were living in what you might say ignorance is bliss. They had no idea of right and wrong. They didn't even know they were naked in the garden until the serpent deceived them. Eve ate, gave some to her husband. And what does it say in Genesis 3? It says, she gave some to him and he ate, and the eyes of both of them were opened and they knew they were naked. You can't unring that bell. Once the knowledge is given, once the picture is seen, there's no going back. And so notice what James says. A person who tries to do that, he looks at himself and goes away at once, forgets what he was like. He says, don't be like that, because this is a hearer only. This is a person living in deception. There is no way to put that genie back in the bottle. That's a courtroom tactic, by the way. You should maybe be aware, I don't know if you've ever seen any of those courtroom TV shows where the lawyers go up and they're making their argument and they make this inflammatory statement and it riles up the whole court. And what happens? The other side goes, I object. And the judge goes, sustained. The jury will disregard the last statement. You've seen that scene. But that's a ploy, because you see, once you say it, you can't unsay it. You can't bring it back. It changes perception. It changes the way we see things. And the Bible should change the way we see things. Reading the truth should change the way we see things. Because notice what James says in verse 24. He looks at himself, he goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. Any person who can do that, who can read this, see the natural, unaltered state of mankind. You know, the same mankind back in Genesis where God said he looked at the heart of man and saw that it was only evil continuously. A person that can go through Scripture and see the unaltered state of people and the human heart and walk away without being changed is unchanged. That's a person who has not been transformed. A person who can sit in front of thousands of hours of sermon and come into a Bible-teaching church every week and walk out no different is an unchanged, untransformed person. And so James says, don't be that way. Verse 25, but he says, but the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, the Bible, the Scripture, the Word of God, the one who looks into that and perseveres, in other words, you keep going. You don't just set it down because it stung a little bit, but you look into this, you keep going, you keep looking. Being a hearer, or not being a hearer, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, will be blessed in his doing. I love how that ends. If you look into the mirror and it changes you, and you know the way it changes you is, are you living your faith? Are you being a doer of the word? If you look into this mirror and what you see affects how you walk in life, then you have a saving faith. The Apostle Paul said, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Well, if the word changes you, if it affects the way you go through your everyday routine, then what you have is the real thing. One of the ways you can tell if you've been changed is this simple test. Does your sin bother you? Can you read something in the Bible and do the opposite and not be bothered? If the answer to that is yes, then I would check some things. Because you should be bothered. The Holy Spirit should convict us when we go against God's standard. Even when it's by accident, we should have that sense. I was in Wawa this morning, and I go in every single morning, and I fill up this cup I have. It's a 20-ounce tumbler cup, because I discovered if you bring your own cup, it's cheaper, and I'm all about a deal, so I bring my own cup, and I fill up 20 ounces of coffee, and I go to the front register, and they ring me up, didn't even ask me how much was in there. They just ring me up. I look on the screen, because you know now you can see what's on there, and it says 16-ounce refill. And I tell you, I stood there for a minute, because the difference between a 16-ounce refill and a 20-ounce refill is 15 cents. That's like a college fund or something. But I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, 15 cents. I could walk away and they would never know the difference. But something kept me there and said, no, tell them. This is a 20-ounce cup, and I did. I showed them the bottom. I'm sorry, this is a 20-ounce cup. And they looked at me, and the guy said, you know, sir, I'm an hourly employee. I don't care. And he gave me a 16-ounce refill. But at least I was honest. I couldn't just leave that. I mean, I could have, but boy, that would have weighed on me. Can you sin and not be bothered, or does it bug you? It should bug you. It should bother you to your soul. And so James says, be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, not somebody who listens and understands and doesn't let it change their life. Be a doer. Put it into practice. That's a sign the Holy Spirit's at work. That's the genuine article. And Lord, as we close tonight, we want the genuine article. We want a faith that changes us. Lord, we pray that you would not let us off the hook when we're put in a position of making a decision of ethics. We pray that we would always pursue what you would have for us. We pray, Father, that no matter what's going on in our life, no matter where we find ourselves, that when somebody looks at us, what they would see is what Jesus would do in that situation. Lord, we pray that we would be seen and called sons of God, that we would be peacemakers, we would be doers of the word and not hearers only. Lord, we pray that you would work on us this week, that you would continue to grow us. Give us an opportunity to show the world what it looks like when Jesus moves in somebody's heart and in their life and when the word changes us. Lord, change us for you. Sanctify us. Build us, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.